We're reading from Kabbalah for the Student, page 59, Body and Soul. You can ask questions during the lesson at kab.tv. Selected questions will be heard in the course of the lesson. Body and soul. Before I clarify this exalted matter, it is important for me to note that although all the readers seem to consider it impossible to clarify and bring such a matter closer to the human mind, except by relying on abstract philosophical concepts, as is usually the case in such scrutinies, since the day I have discovered the wisdom of Kabbalah and dedicated myself to it, I have distanced myself from abstract philosophy and all its branches as the East from the West. Everything that I will write henceforth will be from a purely scientific perspective in utter precision and by means of simple recognition of practical, useful things. Although I will mention the words below, it will be only to indicate the difference between what the human mind can conjure up and what can be understood using the concepts of the Torah and the prophecy, which are based on practical foundations. I would also like to thoroughly clarify the terms body and soul as they truly are, since truth and sound mind are one and the same. This is because the truth is available for everyone, but only by the spirit of the Holy Torah and by removing all the distorted concepts that have taken root among the people. These are primarily taken from abstract methods from which the spirit of our Holy Torah is utterly removed.
Okay, it's all clear. The intro is clear. He wants to explain what body and soul are, that the whole of humanity are greatly confused. There is a soul, no soul. We see there is a body. And what's going on with that? The soul is in the body, goes out of the body, enters the body. When does it? When doesn't it? And there are many confusions about this. And in general, people don't understand it. And it's impossible to feel the soul. What is it? And it's in animals and rocks and trees. Is it? Isn't it? Where are these souls that are wandering around the world? They penetrate a person, exit him. And no one knows. So there is a great confusion about this. And there's an endless amount of stories about it, and everyone imagines whatever they feel like, so he wants to arrange things a bit. What does it mean, body, and what does it mean, spirituality? Suppose, the nefesh of it. Please.
Three methods in the concept of body and soul. In general, we find that the methods that abound in the world concerning the concepts of body and soul are gathered into three methods. One, the method of faith. The method of faith argues that all that exists is the spirit or the soul. They believe that there are spiritual objects separated from one another by quality that are called souls of people, and that they exist independently prior to dressing in a human body. Afterwards, when the body dies, the death does not apply to it, since a spiritual object is a simple object. In their view, death is but a separation of the elements comprising the object. This is possible with physical objects comprised of several elements which death disintegrates. But the spiritual soul, which is an utterly simple object, lacking any complexity, cannot be separated in any way, as this separation would annul its existence. Hence, the soul is eternal and exists forever. The body, as they understand it, is like a clothing over this spiritual object. The spiritual soul clothes in it and uses it to manifest its forces, the good qualities and all kinds of concepts. Also, it provides the body with life and motion and guards it from harm. Thus, the body itself is lifeless, motionless, and contains nothing but dead matter, as we see it once the soul departs it, when it dies. And all the signs of life that we see in human bodies are but manifestations of the soul's powers.
Okay, so it's clear, right? There are different examinations, how much does a... there are different tests that people run, like how much does a live body weigh, how much does a dead body weigh, meaning how much does it weigh after the soul as if leaves, and, you know, like there are differences in grams. So what's not clear? No, I mean about this attitude. What's not clear about the attitude? There's flesh, and there's some kind of a spiritual force that enters the body, revives it, and when it leaves, then the flesh dies, disintegrates into parts from the living level, breaks down into the vegetative, and still, because its spiritual part has left it. This is what people think. So, there is a state where the spiritual part in the nefesh that belongs to that very body is outside of the body, or it dresses into the body and is in the body, and when it is in the body, it gives the body vitality. Is this clear? You do not agree.
The part where that spirit departs the body and the body dies, this is something practical. This is something scientific. The fact that it hovers in the air, this is philosophy already.
What do you mean by leaves? What does that mean?
I don't know what it means, it departs, but a moment ago we had a living body and now it's dead.
Someone left the body.
I don't know if it left the body.
Something very important. No, it was alive and now it's dead, and there is a difference in the functioning of the body, but that's obvious. But what left it? Nothing left it. I don't know, but there are those who say so. There is this kind of an attitude. Three methods. One method is this way.
It's not a method. The whole world says that. Only a bunch of few claims differently.
Ay. So what?
So who's right?
Those are wrong, and those are wrong. I'm right. I don't get you. If seven people will tell you something, then that's it. Boom, you bend. How can you work this way?
But it's a fact. This is our whole work. This is our dissemination. 99% believe in that. They don't believe in anything else.
No, you have two more methods. Wait.
This is the first method. The whole world says that there is something that leaves the body when the body dies, that there's a soul and there's a body. The whole world says that.
The whole world says so. So what?
So this is where our war is. This is what we're fighting with.
Why fight this at all? Were I to talk to a person that this is something that he can examine, he has instruments to make this test, he has facts that I can show him on the same level, like he's sure that it's wrong, meaning but to prove that, then that's something else. But if I don't have that, I have nothing to turn to him with, because this is the size of the brain that he has, and he doesn't have the tools to discover these things, but he simply speaks out of his gut. So there's no place in which we can start observing who's right and who's not, and this is why I'm not turning with this to him. If I come to him, then I have to come from a completely different side altogether, to the whole world.
But pay attention. Thousands of years, people are being taught that, nothing else. Heaven, paradise.
Yeah, but Bala Sulam tells you that all in all, there are three methods for humanity in terms of body and soul, and he introduces this as the first method being the most publicized one. So, finally, you agree with Bala Sulam in something?
Meaning, whoever did all that, whoever inserted all that to us are Kabbalists. Can't blame anyone else.
Of course it comes from the Creator. Of course he has confused them with the first method and the second and the third. Undoubtedly, it all comes from him. The only question is, why do we need this confusion as a preparation in order to understand him? And this is an altogether different question. This is a question in between us Kabbalists. But to turn to the masses and in a frontal manner tell him, hey, what you're doing, that's wrong, you're hallucinating, no. But the method, yeah, it's very prominent, well known.
Two, the method of believers in duality.
We have to understand that this method, like any other method, is a lie, complete lie.
The method of believers in duality. Those who believe in duality think of the body as a complete creation, standing, living, and nourishing, and safekeeping its existence in all that it required. It does not need any assistance from any spiritual object. Yet the body is not considered man's essence. Man's primary essence is the perceiving soul, which is a spiritual object, as in the view of the supporters of the first method. The difference between those two methods is only in the concept of the body. Following the extensive development in physiology and psychology, they have found that Providence has provided for all of life's needs within the machine of the body itself. This, in their view, restricts the role of the soul's functionality within the body solely to concepts and virtues of the spiritual kind. Thus, while they believe in duality in both methods together, they say that the soul is the reason for the body, meaning that the body is a result extending from the soul.
Meaning there are two. Body and soul, but not like on the first method where the soul clothes in the body and then the body comes alive and then it functions and so on and has a role. But even if the soul is more independent than the body and the body is more independent than the soul, the body can live without a soul, meaning that we, throughout our study, we see what the body is, that it has enough forces of its own, that it's an inner closed system, and we can take a vegetative, a living body, even part of it, and when we connect it to different machines, so these parts like the heart, the lungs, the kidneys, the liver, even a leg, you can put it into a state, a cut-off foot, a leg that's cut off from the body, you can make it function, live, stay alive, and everything. Meaning the body is a machine per se. And besides the soul, why soul? Well, you know, the person is he has a feeling of that world, this world. But this is what people think. So I can turn to any doctor and have him take care of my body. And I don't mind who the doctor is. Has nothing to do with my faith, my religion, my anything. Main thing is for the doctor to be good. It's like a veterinarian, a doctor for animals. Same thing, because I treat my body as a machine. And I simply need a professional, doesn't matter who. And it wasn't this way earlier. Before they decided about the second method, people went to be treated by religious figures, because people thought that the body and soul are one, that you have to take care of the soul and the body will be okay. And so you see, a person was given mortifications and so on, fast, not for the purposes of the well-being of the body, but really to persuade the soul to be healthier, and then the body will be healthier as well. And the health of the soul depends on the number of torments that a person undergoes later on. This was in ancient times. Then we came to a state that we have like a veterinarian who takes care of our body and someone taking care of our psyche, soul. But please, to the point.
It explains, and it sounds as if the soul is something not somewhere out there. This is something you can feel and touch.
I don't know. I don't want to get into it. Third method.
The method of the deniers. The method of deniers of spirituality who acknowledge only corporality. Supporters of this method completely deny the existence of any kind of abstract spiritual object within the body. They have evidently proven that man's mind too is but a product of the body, and they depict the body as an electronic machine with wires that stretch from the body to the brain and operate by encounters with external things. Also, they send their sensations of pain or pleasure to the brain, and the brain instructs the organ what to do. Everything is run by wires and cords built for this task. They move the organ away from sources of pain and towards sources of pleasure. Thus they clarify all of man's consolations from life's events. Also, what we feel as concepts and rationalities within our mind are but images of corporal occurrences within the body. And man's preeminence over all animals is that our minds are developed to such an extent that all the body's events are depicted in our brains as images that we experience as concepts and rationalities. Thus, the mind and all its deductions are but products that extend from the events of the body. In addition, there are...
Wait a second. This is clearer. Go to the doctors and ask. Behind you there is a doctor. And another one for sure. We have a few doctors. Ask them what's going on. The body is a body. You go to the doctors. What does he check? Your chemistry, your nerve system. He gives you a few x-rays, tests, and decides what's wrong with the system. Meaning, what is there? You have a sack with plenty of electrolytes. And electricity.
And there's also a soul.
What soul?
It's not just a physical body.
No. It's all nerves. You get some medicine, you calm down, you drink a cup of vodka, and you're
okay. So what
okay?
is remedy against depression? It doesn't relate to the soul?
Yeah, depression because you're lacking something. Your electrical system is confused. Any system can have malfunctions or heritage or whatever. We have all diseases like any other animal has. Look, you have nothing to say about it. You can't prove that there is something in the body that ghosts or whatever dress into it that like enters it. When it comes out of her mom. And if it's a cesarean birth or coming from the incubator, or how does that work? Where are you taking this from? We're materialistic, rational people. For us, science. Soul, never seen such a thing. What is it? Flew and it disappears. What is that?
The person has pride. It also feels...
Feels what? You feel what's in your pocket.
What do you mean in my pocket? There's a relationship between me and my wife, between me and my parents.
And that you call soul.
But we have feelings.
No, what do you mean feeling? My dog loves me as well.
So what is that feeling?
Why does it have to do with the soul? A feeling is an inner aspiration inside myself. And this is my impression. This is how I'm inspired. This is how I live. Animals have the same. The plants feel as well.
But where does it come from if they don't have a soul, as you say?
It comes as a result of the deficiency for pleasure. Deficiency for pleasure. That's it. Where does it come from? And the deficiency for pleasure on the still level, its deficiency is where it wants to sustain itself in its structure, and the pleasure is being in it. Try and break a piece of metal. You have to heat it up, break it, you have to put in a lot of strength. Why? Because it wants to keep itself together. This, it has pleasure of keeping itself together. The way you want to get pleasure, only for you it's on the living level. For you it's on the living level, and for it it's on the still level. And you feel pleasure as a result of being fulfilled by something. This desire to fill yourself up and to feel pleasure from different things, that's called nefesh, that's called soul. It's a spiritual thing. Everyone has that. So call it nefesh, soul, if you want to, but it's in the body. And later on, when the body passes away, so it does, it comes down from the living level to something dead. So, of course, the desire disappears. Where does it go? It roams in thin air. Meaning, materialistically, simply speaking, judge has only what his eyes see. No soul, no nothing. There's a machine that we take care of, and thank God, you see, we're advancing in medicine, and so on. There is nothing here to... But he says that in addition, there's what?
In addition, there are proponents of the second method who completely agree with this method, but add the spiritual eternal object to it, called the soul that dresses within the machine of the body. This soul is man's essence, and the machine of the body is but its clothing. Thus, I have laid out in general terms of all that human science has thus far contrived in concept of body and soul.
That's it. That's all there is to it. You can't invent anything new, but always it will be one of these three methods. In short, and to the point.
I have this thought. I would like you to correct me.
Quickly.
Our thoughts are being activated by our soul, meaning our desire.
This is something I don't know. I don't know. I look at it the way he looks at the world. The desires are operated by the soul, by the creator, by the upper force, by the ghost. I don't know what. I'm a scientist. That's all there is. Don't give me your Kabbalah, nothing.
So me as a researcher, according to those three methods, the spiritual object that comes in is something that doesn't belong to the corporal body.
Don't want to hear about spiritual entities. Never saw it, don't know what that is.
It's from the article in the first method.
So there are people with an imagination that there is some kind of a spiritual entity. They're called believers, religious people. I don't know how you call it. It doesn't matter how you call it. We divide the world into two. Materialistic people speaking only about matter, and believers that they have different... If you ask them of the same kind, of the same everything... Take them, start asking them, you'll see how confused they are. Why are they confused? Because they don't see these things. Every person depicts whatever he feels like. He was told so in childhood, and this is what he lives through life with. I'm not only talking about Jews. I'm talking about everyone. And you have 3,800 different kinds of belief in the world. And you think that's the number? There are 1,000 times more. Each person has something of his own, because no one knows. This is why either you live with some belief about a part existing in you, belonging to spirituality, call it soul, call it whatever, or you live in a way that a judge has but what his eyes see, his body. And that's that, flesh and bones. That's it. Now, what does Kabbalah think about this? Neither are these right, nor are those. It has an opinion of its own. But that there is a body and soul, and that they're somehow interconnected, and later on separate, that is a complete lie. Imagine that that's how it is. Ay, 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 ay. So, we'll see. Please, let's read.
The scientific meaning of body and soul according to our holy Torah.
Oh.
Now I shall explain this exalted matter according to our holy Torah, as our sages have explained it to us. I have already written in several places that there is not a single word of our sages, not even in the prophetic wisdom of Kabbalah, that relies on theoretical basis.
Do you know what it means that it's theoretical? You yank it from under your hair.
This is so because it is known fact that man is naturally doubtful, and each conclusion that the human mind deems certain is deemed uncertain after some time. Hence, one doubles the efforts of one study and invents another inference and declares that as certain. But if one is a genuine student, he will walk around this axis all of one's life, since yesterday's certainty has become today's uncertainty, and today's certainty becomes tomorrow's uncertainty. Thus, it is impossible to determine any definite conclusion for more than a day.
Okay, so it's clear that we can never determine anything through materialism, because the way you examine it today, that a judge has only what his eyes see, tomorrow your eyes will see something else, and we see through the past few hundreds of years how every time we get confused and we come from one conclusion to another and so on. Doctors used to write that it is impossible that a vehicle can be a car, because a person driving a car at more than 10 kilometers an hour will get a stroke. He will get a stroke. Therefore, vehicles is an impossibility. You know, different such things. You know, there are plenty of such laws. You know, the Americans, they have different such laws, like it's forbidden to walk around with an elephant in Central Park, and so on. This is how humanity lives. No point in making fun of it. It only shows us how we're changing, and changing is good. It means that we're growing, but therefore, even if today you decide, and whatever you decide about the Creator, the soul, the body, the whatever, it will never be absolute. Tomorrow you'll see that it'll change.
Revealed and concealed. Today's science has sufficiently understood that there is no absolute certainty in reality. Yet our sages arrived at this conclusion several thousand years earlier. Hence, concerning religious matters, they have guided and forbidden us to not only refrain from drawing any conclusion based on theory, but even prohibited us from being assisted by such theories, even by way of negotiations. Our sages divided the wisdom into two matters, revealed and concealed. The revealed part contains everything we know from our direct consciousness, as well as the concepts built upon practical experience without any assistance from scrutiny. As our sages said, a judge has only what his eyes see. The concealed part contains all those concepts we had heard from trusted people or have acquired by ourselves through general understanding and perception of them. However, we cannot sufficiently approach it so as to criticize it with a healthy mind, with straightforward consciousness. And this is regarded as a concealed, where we were advised to accept matters with simple faith, and with all that concerns religion, we have been strictly forbidden to even gaze at matters that could arouse us to scrutinize and study them. Yet, these names, revealed and concealed, are not permanent names applying to a certain kind of knowledge, as the uneducated think. Rather, they apply only to the human consciousness. Thus, one refers to all those concepts one has already discovered and has come to know through actual experience as revealed, and regards all the concepts that are yet to be recognized in this manner as concealed. Thus, throughout the generations, all people have these two divisions. The revealed part will be permitted for study and research as it realizes on a true basis, and the concealed part is forbidden for even a shred of scrutiny since one has no real basis there.
Okay, so it's clear that a judge has only what his eyes see. What you come to, the conclusions you come to through common sense, based only on proof. This is what you can build yourself on and see. And that proof, due to modern science or in modern science, also become kind of unstable. Suddenly, Einstein, with all of his theories about time, space, speed, motion, there are different matrices, and in short, everything becomes relative, but nonetheless, we have nothing better to rely on than what we have in our own hands, and that's that, obviously. All the rest, he thinks this, she thinks that, therefore it's not called something certain. You can live accordingly if you wish, but not to build something realistic based on it, to build our life, technology, and so on, are first of all based on scientific facts, and all the rest the person takes for himself. If you want to, please go ahead, do it in some corner, as long as you don't bother others. If you do bother others, then there are absolute laws that we have to keep. Okay. Yes. Quickly.
Usually we say that a person is comprised from the still, vegetative, animate, and speaking. Does it mean that this is why we can research the animate degree, let's say animals? Can we say that we can feel what animals feel?
I don't know if we can. We investigate as much as we can, deducing laws from it. There is, if I see a certain phenomenon, I research it. It repeats itself. I publicize it. Everyone researches that phenomenon. See, it's the same. They say, way to go, you've discovered it, and now this phenomenon becomes a law.
But if we're talking from a perspective,
I don't know. You're talking about a feeling. To research, yes, because we're also on the living level.
I'm trying to speak from a perspective of what we just said. Baal HaSulam says that we mustn't investigate what is concealed from us. Meaning if something is outside of me, so in practice I cannot research it.
I don't know what you mean by outside of yourself. I don't like your philosophies. We're talking about a person in this world. How do I relate to life? Why are you putting in inside of me and outside of me?
I'm trying to understand the approach.
Simple materialistic attitude.
Exactly. So can the materialistic approach can say that the research of animal, I don't have the tools to measure if he has consciousness or self-awareness.
I don't know. If we research and find out that's how it is, then it is. If we don't, it isn't. Everything with respect to our vessels.
So this is what I'm asking about. It should still be through our vessels.
So what? We're always speaking with respect to a person himself.
This is what I don't understand.
I'm sorry. I don't want to talk this way. Now we're talking in a simple materialistic approach.
So I can feel animals?
First go and see how they relate to life. I don't want to get into these confusions, simply so. Speak to any scientists, he'll tell you.
He writes here about the concealed part that contains all those concepts we had heard from trusted people or have acquired by ourselves through general understanding and perception of them. However, we cannot sufficiently approach it so as to criticize it with a healthy mind, with straightforward consciousness, and this is regarded as concealed. What does it mean about that part which is concealed from man? There is this advice to accept matters with simple faith.
The second part about materialism, that's clear? Okay, about the concealed part. The concealed part, that's something else. Listen. The concealed part, it's what's concealed from me, and I'm going to reveal it. It's not simply concealed. And wanting to reveal it, there are people who I believe who already revealed, and then I follow them like a teacher in our world who shows me the path in life. I go to the first grade, second grade, and so on, and the teacher teaches me how to feel life, look at life. He builds me, sculptures me from within. Same way, I come to a Kabbalist who says, there is a hidden part. You don't feel it. I'll help you build receptacles by which you can discover the world and research it the very same way you research the revealed part to which you have 5 senses from birth. For the hidden part, you're missing 5 senses from birth, and I will help you by advice, mere advice, how to reach these 5 senses. How can I know? I also learned from my teacher, and I received it, and therefore I can teach you. That's it. Now, if you believe him, and you're ready to follow him, first of all, blindfoldly, because you see nothing. You have to 100% believe him and do all that he tells you to. Then you have a chance. If you do exactly and not some kind of a in between there is something, you'll get tangled up and you won't believe or something, or you'll be slacker, or if you do that, you'll succeed. That means that you accept the teacher for the hidden part exactly like we do in our life. I don't know anything. I have a music teacher. There I can hear something, at least there I can hear something. And then he teaches me things that I didn't think that they have to do with music, that you have to study, that you have to whatever. Look, guys, you'll start asking not to the point, so I feel. We won't finish it today. Okay, Akoka, go ahead.
With regard to the concealed part, if it is a concealed part and I come to a teacher, How do I know what to extract from the teacher?
You don't know. He teaches you everything. But the teacher, is that in the revealed part, what's hidden from nature, or hidden in nature, he is going to help you and discover that. And not that he leaves you in the hidden part and then you simply believe him telling you about things that exist somewhere out there and you believe him, you believe his story. No, he's not telling you a story. It's not the story that's important. What's important is the kelim, the tools that you get from him in order to make the hidden into revealed. That's called the teacher.
What are those tools I receive from him?
I don't know. We're not talking about that now. Only to the point. Yeah?
In order to compare the three methods we studied earlier, they also came from the will to attain.
There was no attainment there.
They have reached attainment, they reach understanding out of their attainment, so they had a path of investigating things.
I don't get it. There was the investigation of the world through three methods and five senses, and whatever is unknown, it was given different depictions and was not researched. You don't reveal it.
I mean, what are we different from them?
In the hidden part becoming revealed. That's it. That's the whole difference. All in all, that's it. From all the whole world, all the religious, all the seculars, all the whoever and whatever, all the 7 billion, they do not turn the hidden into revealed. And I don't care. They could be world famous scientists. They could be fools. They could be believers in whatever. But for them, this is a closed, hidden business. For us, we relate to the body and to the whole world and the hidden part all together. I'm not saying that we're materialists. We're not. Our attitude toward this life does seem materialistic, but it's not so. We have to speak about it. It isn't. The hidden part, we are headed to reveal it, and the revealed and hidden part will conjoin into a single desire, and there is nothing besides matter and besides the desire, and there is no soul, and there is no body, only a desire. That's it.
And this is the uniqueness of our method, the desire?
Yes, that's all that you have. There's no still, vegetative, animate, or speaking. There's none of these things that seems to as existing. Only the desire. And from the desire, you see the world as if the world, because the world doesn't exist either. The more you advance, the more you reveal the hidden part. It all takes on single form, desire, one desire. And for the time being, you have a vital force called Kista de Chayuta, which is the light that clothes in the vessel. And if you want to discover something beyond that, you want to feel beyond that, you have to be in bestowal. And the force of bestowal instead of the force of reception. And that force of bestowal which you acquire is called the soul. And in it, you discover the hidden part that becomes revealed. It's simply a bit, I want to go a bit forward, because otherwise we won't have time to talk about it. We don't get anything of these three methods. We don't accept anything of the three methods. And 1,000 other methods, doesn't matter how many. Nothing. And the uniqueness is that we are going to reveal all the hidden. All the hidden will become revealed. Guys, I don't know what to do. Leo.
In a few days, in the beginning of September, we will have introductory lectures all over Israel because we're starting a new year of the Kabbalah Academy. Almost all of the people
Wait a second. Say again. What lectures?
We're going to have introductory lectures of the Wisdom of Kabbalah free of charge. Yeah. In all our branches throughout Israel.
So we're inviting all of our viewers, their relatives, their friends, tell everyone, whoever wants, should come to our centers. How can I know where the center is? I live next to the market in Tel Aviv or in Jerusalem.
You can get into our site, kab.coil. You have all our branches there. You can dial our phone number, 1-700-509-209. You can see the slide on the screen. You can see all the details. So I have a question about that. Most of the people who come to these lectures, you can say all of them, they really have this feeling that there's something concealed which they want to reveal, that there's something higher than this life.
Okay, great.
This is what they're coming with. Now, the question is, how important it is in order to reveal this concealed part, how important it is to have a method, a study method, an organized study method to study methodically.
First of all, I don't think that we are starting to study the wisdom of Kabbalah correctly. I have criticism over that. I think that the course should start, or maybe you're doing it, but it shouldn't start with the introduction. Okay, great. So you understand. It has to correspond a person's deficiency. He has to know the soul, what's going on, the juicy stuff. So I have to explain about that. What is a soul? How do you acquire it? How do you discover? How do you acquire the soul? Develops its vessels. Speak about that first of all, and then later on, in order to achieve what we got now, that we have no soul, we have to achieve it. This is our goal in life, to achieve. You're talking to acquire, to really, we're talking egoistically, and in order to acquire, I have to know about the system a bit, about this, about that, about, and you start getting into the method itself. But of course, the whole method is in order to discover the soul. The Creator, He's our soul. Yeah.
So this is exactly the question. How important it is an organized study. A person has a desire to reveal their soul and they're concealed, but not everyone wants to sit down and study.
No, it's a must, otherwise he won't understand. He'll be confused again. In between all the methods, he has to clear himself of all the methods bit by bit. It's not simple. It happens to a person sometimes throughout years, and he has to identify the truth, which is a very thin line that really all the time keeps himself from becoming confused. Soul, body, incarnations, death of the body, doesn't die. He has to shift to the right point of view. This point is really the foundation, his basis. And that's not simple. And as a result of merely having a desire. And the desire is something that we correct, and whatever fills the desire is called the nefesh, or the neshama. And besides that, that's all there is. And what we see is, we simply in our eyes, we see the manifestation of the desire on the lowest level. And with these words,
few announcements. Kabbalah Experience in Haifa next Tuesday, August 28th at 7 p.m. we'll have our weekly meeting with Rav Lehman in Haifa. It will be broadcasted live on Kab.tv. Admission is free. The truth, you should discover it. An open day in the Kabbalah Academy. Before the new study year, we invite you to an introductory lecture Monday, September 3rd, 6:30 p.m. in all the branches of the Kabbalah Academy throughout Israel. Details at 1-700-509-209 and in Kabbalah Laam site. Thank you and have a lovely, lovely day. Today at 4 p.m., we're going to have a workshop. You're all invited. Today at 4 p.m., we're going to have a workshop. You're all invited. And we're going to have a broadcast on Sviva Tova on the internet. And now a song.
לקראת הטוב הרמוניה גלים מתמזגים על קו החוף
הרמוניה אנחנו כמו קליפים על הסנטר
שחורים ולבנים לב אליהם מתחבר
הרמוניה זה כולנו יחד לצמוח